I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up.
Hello, I'm Solazar, and you're listening to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, bringing you radio for the open mind. Empowered programming brought to you by wisdom experts in various areas, bringing forth their knowledge and expertise so you can grab those kernels and turn the lead in your life into gold. Magic for Life is also the promoter and producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair. We just had that 2 weekends ago, May 2nd and 3rd, over at the Monterey Fairgrounds. And our next one is coming up October 31st and November 1st. And we look forward to seeing you then as I will do another special mystery show where with Houdini Seance, since Harry Houdini died October 31st, 1926. And that'll be a special Saturday evening event. Now, this evening, we have several folks for you. We'll have Stephen Heckhouse, who will be joining us shortly and be talking about de-stressing in these times of stress. And also, in the second hour, we'll have Reverend Charlotte Tinker talking about healing the world one heart at a time as she brings forward the channeled wisdom of Kuan Yin, the goddess of mercy. Now, there's just so much going on that I have to tell you, I'm chuckling at myself and embarrassed at the same time. When I sent out the email for today's show, I was talking about the moon moving into Taurus when very clearly the moon has moved into Aries. And so I was telling everybody it's a good time to take stock, to take comfort. And actually, you can do that when it hits the new moon, Sunday evening Pacific time, about 9:13 p.m. Pacific time. Sunday, that's when we'll have our new moon in Taurus. It'll be a good time to take stock and shore up. But the waning crescent moon right now has moved into Aries, and it's an energetic time. It's really a time for getting some of those things done before you sit down. So take action, take steps, take movement, and move in the direction of where you want to go. That's what's going on right now in this month of creativity. Also, for those who attend the quarterly previews at the Circle of Light, there will be no Circle of Light this month. Liliana Bethany and Nolan Matthew are still in Hawaii as a follow-up to the workshop that they held there. And Kirilani and I have talked about maybe doing a mini quarterly preview later on in the month, but we'll keep you informed. If you aren't already on the email list for Good Vibrations Radio, go ahead and go to Good Vibrations Radio and sign up so that you can be informed when we have these other events coming up. Now, because Kirilani was in Hawaii at the beginning of the month, we didn't do our forecast call for May. We will be doing one for June, but once again, stay tuned on goodvibrationsradio.com to find out exactly when. We haven't scheduled or set that date yet. And so much of that is based on Kira's schedule. You know, she got back in late Saturday evening, about 11:30 p.m. Pacific time. Didn't get home till, you know, close to 1. And then Monday morning was once again up at the crack of dawn to catch a flight to Washington, D.C. so she could present at a conference there. So a very busy lady, very talented lady, very special lady. And so we try to work things around her schedule, but in ways that would also serve you, because we're interested in ensuring that you're best served by what we bring forth. So let's go back to this moon moving into Aries today a little bit and touch on that. And I am so sorry. I was trying to correct the email, but I have not had a chance to fully get it corrected and get it back out. So this is a good day for getting things done. Yesterday, as Joyce Mew shared on Your Lucky Stars, we had a void, of course, Moon Day all day, which means really it's a time of the unexpected, the unknown. Not a good day for planning or even initiating good things, but tomorrow we have the same thing. This is going to be another day without any lunar aspects to hold the space for things together, as Joyce likes to share, that the moon, the energy of everything comes from the moon's aspecting to the other planets, and it creates a lot of that good energy. So with today, with the moon moving into Aries, there's a lot of aspects it's making over the course of the day, but this is going to be really a day of pushing, of moving, of shoving. It's the good day to initiate anything. Tomorrow is not. So if you still have something to try to get done today, do it. But I'm still reeling and reacting from my void of course days, from the emails I sent out that had all kinds of inconsistencies and errors in it. So we hope for those of you who've received those things that you find it someplace in your heart to forgive me, because I'm just going to blame the void of course moon. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to say it's its fault. But truth is, I'll take responsibility. So today we have a new segment starting, and we previously introduced last month Stephen Heckhouse, who's an energy healer, to the audience. And Stephen at that time spoke about some of what he did, how he got into the work that he does. And we had the opportunity to get to know him a little bit. Stephen will be with us the second Thursday of every month at 5:15. And we'd like to go ahead and take the moment to introduce him now. He's practiced massage therapy and energy healing for more than 25 years. And through his extensive personal experience, coupled with decades of meditation practice, he's cultivated a highly refined, intuitive sensitivity to disruptions in the natural balance of the physical, mental, and spiritual bodies. Sharing with us this evening, let's listen to Stephen Heckhouse.
Hello. This is my second time on the radio, and I feel pretty honored to be here. So thank you to whoever's out there listening, and I'll do my best. What I do, and I've been doing this for quite a while now, is give myself over to spirit, and spirit does come through me quite dramatically at times. And sometimes I get messages for people, spiritual messages for people. And a lot of times it's about releasing stress from the body as well. I'm a body worker, and the energy rather flows through my hands. So my main thing is releasing, helping people release stress from their bodies, minds, emotions. And on occasion, and probably more than on occasion, giving messages for people about what they need to do. And today I thought perhaps, this might be my first time doing this, perhaps tuning in and see if I can do something for the people listening. And I don't know how this is going to go. I've never done this before, but I would like to see how it goes. And should I just go ahead and do that, Solarzar? Is it okay? Okay, I'm going to see what I can do. Give me about a minute to tune in. And then I never know what spirit's going to do, but it's usually pretty nice. And I'll see what happens. All right, I'm just going to close my eyes and tune in now. All right, I think I'm there. There's flowers coming from above. It's like from heaven and Mother Divine. I call her Mother Divine as Mother God. Flowers coming down and going to the people who are in the audience now, and to other people, and to especially family members of the people listening right now. And this may sound rather cliche, but Mother Divine loves you all so much. And she wants to do things with your heart. She wants to do things for your hearts. And she's taking care of all of you right now. Like an embrace from Mother God, which it is. And her nature is absolute, still, divine silence. Stillness, grace, beauty. And what I'm seeing is that everyone is just like that in their essence. Everyone is stillness and divinity and purity and love and divine grace. So what she does, if I can be so humbly someone speaking about what she does, is to take away the coverings that people have over them, over themselves. Like, you could have an experience in life, like, say, you could have a breakup. There could be a divorce or a breakup in a relationship, for instance. Anything that causes you great stress, things like that. While the experience may be done, while the event that happened that was stressful may be done, it can leave a residue. It can leave some pain behind that doesn't seem to go away sometimes. So what Mother Divine does is simply wash these things away. All right, let me look a little bit more deeply now. She's helping everyone around, and there's this golden light around the people that are listening, and I say also to their family members as well, and loved ones. This is sweetness from Mother Divine. I love doing this myself because it flows through me and heals me doing this. So while it's beneficial for people in the audience, it's tremendously beneficial for me as well. And that's why I open myself to do this. It's getting very quiet now. Let me just be with this a minute in stillness and see what comes. And there's this great light coming down from heaven. And what I'm seeing is that the people in the audience, and perhaps everyone, is actually a divine spiritual being and not a small self individual, which we think we are so much of the time, or can think that. We get caught up in the smallness of life and can't remember our divine grace inside, which we truly are. And what I'm seeing now is us as divine beings with no troubles whatsoever. It's like we somehow, in our essence, in a way, we are God walking the earth, or we have that essence of God that is in us and that we are. It's like divinity walking the earth. And like I say, well, most of us have probably forgotten all this. It's Mother's Divine's wish to wake us up, because it's almost like she'd like some company. Speaking from my limited viewpoint, either she wants some company or she simply wants to wake us up so we can experience who we are too in our essence. And I want to thank Solar Czar for inviting me in so much, because he's got this wonderful, it looks like a golden silver heart, and I thank him immensely for inviting me here. So thank you, Solar Czar. Let me just be in stillness again and see what flows through. And divine grace to everyone. and flowers coming down to people's heads, almost like if you were in a shower and the water would be coming down to you. This is like being in a shower, but the water is flowers coming down to people. Sometimes the words don't come so freely because it's such stillness that I just have to wait for things to happen, because sometimes she doesn't say that much. So let me just be with this for a minute now. And that may be it for today's little tune-in here. Little silence was created. And so we can talk about something else perhaps for now. Anything you want to talk about, Solar Czar, or you have any questions?
Well, that was a beautiful blessing, and you said so many wonderful things, shared so many wonderful things, but do you have something that people can do in these challenging times to help them do quick de-stress exercises?
Quick de-stress exercises. Let me see. First of all, since we are in this very fast-paced world, what I can see is a lot of you just simply need to lay down at times, simply take a nap maybe, or simply even wide awake, just lay on the ground, just lay on the floor, lay on the bed, whatever you need to do, but take the weight off your feet and just lay down. Let me see if there's anything else I can get regarding de-stressing. Something I've been doing for a long time in terms of de-stressing is I allow my body to shake off stress. What happens for me, and it could happen for other people or in their own way, is when I wake up in the morning, I have this thing that happens spontaneously. My neck will give a little twist, little thing. It sort of jerks a little bit. And I just go with it, and my body will start to throw off stresses. And by the time I'm done, after a certain amount of time, I feel like heaven has dawned in my life. And I do this every day. And so this may be something that people could do. It's a way of just shaking things off. Just shake your body a little bit. And you could do it on purpose, or it could happen spontaneously. Anything else? I've been practicing transcendental meditation forever. Can't recommend that highly enough. I could not believe it when I learned it. I didn't know life could be that good that fast. So it's not for everyone, but for those that would be, if you have an inkling towards it, check it out. It's everything they say it does. It's everything they say it is, and it'll do everything they say it'll do. That's a statement from Ram Dass, but I'd have to agree with him. Okay.
So we want to remind everyone that they can go to amritaloka.com, which is also on the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com, to find out more about the services that you offer, Stephen. And what's the best way for people to get in touch with you? Should they just call you from the webpage?
I must say, I'm 61 years old, and I was resisting texting for a lot, I guess, because I was a little bit older. But now, the best way to contact me is by texting or simply call me directly. You can email me, but I'm much faster with texting or phones for some reason.
So the number is 831-224-4669, is it?
That's right.
Okay, and so, again, we want to remind folks to go to amritaloka.com, which is also on the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com, so you can click that and connect right over to Stephen. Stephen will be with us the second Thursday of every month at 5:15 p.m., and he'll be sharing whatever seems appropriate to be coming through at that point in time, so we'll get the benefit of his 61 years of experience and connection and spiritual journey. So thank you for joining us, Stephen, and we look forward to your next visit.
Thank you so much, Solarzar, for having me. And looking forward to doing it again. This was a breakthrough for me, and it feels like it's a heart-touching thing for me, so I'd be happy to come back.
All right, excellent. So remember, second Thursday of every month, Stephen Heckhouse, Amrita Loca, and this is Good Vibrations Radio with Solarzar and Kirilani, and we'll be right back after this commercial break.
Hubble's 25th anniversary. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is Science Update. The Hubble Space Telescope has been taking high-resolution images of the universe for 25 years now. Daniel Clary of Science Magazine reflects on Hubble's many discoveries.
It can detect some of the very first galaxies from the early universe, so it's the first time we've been able to see what they look like at visible wavelengths. And it demonstrated that most galaxies out there have a supermassive black hole at their heart. So that's something we didn't know before.
The telescope has also led to a better understanding of the age of our universe and the rate at which it's expanding. And it took the first snapshots of an exoplanet.
You always find things you're not expecting. And that's been one of the joys of Hubble. It's discovered things that weren't even dreamt of when it was built.
I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.
Hey, Bella, what are you doing?
Hi, Nana. I'm looking for my new favorite book. I love coming in and seeing what's new in the children's section. We are a community bookstore. We have a wide selection of books, music, gifts, and garden items. Custom orders are welcome.
Carmel Pinecone newspaper readers voted Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden Best Bookstore on the Peninsula for 2012. Author events and lunchtime discussion groups are happening throughout each month and are announced on email to our subscribers, local calendars in the newspaper, and posted in the community board inside the store. Come on in and experience this old Carmel charm for yourself. Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, located downtown Carmel by the Sea on Dolores between 5th and 6th. Give us a call at 831-624-4955 or online at pilgrimsway.com.
The best store ever.
Welcome to the world of diamond consciousness, the unequivocal yes.
With diamond alignment, you can experience all the benefits of meditation online in just 6 minutes. Try it once and change your day. Try it every day and change your life.
The diamond energy of joy and equanimity will emanate from you today. Watch the world change around you and have a diamond day.
You can enjoy an evening of inspiration, personal growth, intellectual stimulation, and powerful energy for transformation at the Circle of Light. Connect with other adventurous souls seeking the expanded view outside the box. Join us at the Circle of Light on the third Friday of each month at the Unitarian Sanctuary, 490 Aguajito Road, Carmel, just off the PG Pebble Beach exit of Highway 1. Doors open at 7 p.m. General admission is $11, $9 for students and seniors. Call 484-1923 for more information.
Hi, this is Kirilani. People have been asking me what I've been doing because I look younger and I'm glowing. Well, I'm here to share with you my magic potion. It's called Nerium, which is a phenomenal age-defying skin treatment breakthrough. In clinical results, people like you are seeing on average a 30% improvement in the appearance of lines and wrinkles, skin discoloration, uneven skin texture, enlarged pores, and aging skin. I'm seeing these great results, and so are my family and friends. So check out the real results at kirilani.nerium.com. And the best part to me is Nerium is totally plant-based, grown pesticide-free, no chemicals, no preservatives, and no gluten. Do you want to look younger? Well, try Nerium now. Nourish your skin with a risk-free 30-day trial. go to kirilani.nerium.com. Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio on Radio Monterey.
And this is Solazar. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that segment with Stephen Heckhouse. As I said, he'll be with us the second Thursday of every month. And in the second hour, we'll have Reverend Charlotte Tinker, Healing the World One Heart at a Time. But let's get back to what I was rambling about earlier. You know, I'd sent out the email about the show talking about, oh, the moon moved into Taurus. Of course, we're going to have a Taurus new moon on Sunday. And I was, even when I was doing the email, I'm desperately trying to figure out, I don't know how that happens. Why? And clearly, it was just very simply, I was misreading my ephemeris. You know, it clearly had the symbol for Aries. I was clearly reading it as Taurus for some strange brain synaptic reason that I'm not going to try to figure out and put it out with that. So I want to remind folks that this is a time today, this is our time for initiating actions and activities, because tomorrow is a void of course day. It's not a good time for initiating. You can expect the unexpected. And yesterday was a void of course moon day. And what that really means is that the moon is not aspecting any planets, and it's those relationships that pull the juice out of the planets and the moon. Now, I wanted to take a look at, you know, I always do the day by day with James Allen, or I shouldn't say always, but I always try to do the day by day with James Allen. Now, James Allen wrote that beautiful book, As a Man Thinketh, at the turn of the century. It's a powerful book that's become kind of a foundational book for so much of what goes on in the self-help world today. It's not the only one. Ooh, excuse me, I'm going to yawn. So sorry, it's not that you're all tiring me out. I'm just tired out. I've been running tired ever since the Road Affair got over. So 2 weeks of tiredness. But today, of course, is the 14th day. And As a Man Thinketh was a seminal work because it was really the first one that brought to the forefront that whole idea of how what we think about, the attitudes we infuse within ourselves, are going to affect our ability to accomplish, achieve, succeed, whatever you want to say. Success is a direct outcome of the mindset with which we approach whatever it is that we're doing. So if that mindset is flawed or faulty or questioning or doubtful, we won't achieve the outcome that we desire. And As a Man Thinketh pretty much said, you are, as Earl Nightingale said, you are what you think about. So what is it you think about? And for the 14th, and Vic Johnson took As a Man Thinketh and he carved it up into messages for each day of the month. And today, being the 14th, is about harmonizing thoughts. A person is the causer, though nearly always unconsciously, of his circumstances, and that whilst aiming at the good end, he is continually frustrating its accomplishment by encouraging thoughts and desires which cannot possibly harmonize with that end. So we are essentially the end result of all of our thoughts. We are the outcome of all of our thoughts. Our results are about all of our thoughts. And as my daily word says, I expect and receive only good. If you expect and receive only good, that requires some attention to your thought process. So often we don't realize that we create a thought of I want this, or I desire this, or I need this, however we start it. And then we start down that road and we take a turn to the left. And then we come back to the road. Then we take a turn to the right. So think of yourself taking a journey and doing exactly that. I start down that road as I need to get to this point. In order to get to that point, I have to take step A. As I start taking step A, I say, I wonder really if I should take step A. I wonder if this is the right step to take. I'm not sure that I should be doing this. Oh, look at that over there. Let me put that away first before I get around to step A. And let me, oh, I didn't realize I left this out also. Let me hang this up. I'll put this away. You know what? I'm feeling kind of hungry. Let me go get something to eat and think about it. Yeah, I'm not so sure about step A. And then 4 hours later, we're back at it and say, you know, I really need to take step A. But maybe step A is not the right step to take. Let me look this up. Oh, look at that article about George W. Bush. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that about it. You know, why would anybody even say that about it? Oh, my God, look at this stuff about Cheney. God, that guy annoys me. And so now I'm off on a whole different tangent. The real point is, where were my harmonizing thoughts? Where were my thoughts that were focused? By staying focused on the thought of the intention and the outcome. In addition to the intention and the outcome, we also have the thoughts that we get in there that are just about our own self-worth. Of what? We don't deserve. I'm not deserving. I am not worthy. I am not worthy. I am not worthy. It's almost like the mea culpa in the portion of the Catholic Mass where the altar boys would say, my fault, my fault, my grievous fault. Bullshit. It's not my fault, my fault, my grievous fault. Whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm exercising, whatever I am attempting, whatever happens, I have an opportunity to learn, build, and grow from that. I have done some dumb things. No question about it. Matter of fact, I'm still reeling from some of the things I've done in the last 2 years because in the long and short of it, and there's no long and short of it, there's just some dumb things. So I have some consequences yet to face that I'm not so sure about myself because I've done some dumb things. You know, I've got to find ways of dealing with them. And I didn't have to be facing some of the situations that I created. But let's be real firm about that. One is, I'm not dumb. I did some dumb things, but I'm not dumb. Two is, I'm just going to have to deal with the outcome of what I created in certain areas and just deal with it. That's the bottom end of it. There's no charge to that. It's just, I have to deal with the outcome of what I've created. So where do people get into trouble? Two, we get into trouble because we take a path, we second-guess the path, we doubt the path, we take an alternative action, we don't get the outcome we want. Now we either chastise, criticize, or blame others, or we just don't take responsibility for what we've formed and framed. Then on top of that, we avoid the outcome we've created. So in my case, I may have actually incurred an extra tax burden. That's my case. I'm not sure yet how I'm going to deal with it, but I haven't really fully done my taxes yet, so it's possible it may not be nearly as bad as I think it is. That being said, I still have to file taxes. I could really make it worse by not filing taxes. And by not filing taxes, I can incur additional penalties. And by incurring additional penalties, I could actually keep compounding the situation until it's worse and worse and worse and worse. Bottom line is, you have to deal with the situation. You have to deal with what you've been dealt. But the best way to deal with it is going back to those harmonizing thoughts from As a Man Thinketh. Maintain a pure attitude and an appropriate thought process. Keep the thought process focused on the outcome. And an outcome is not about revenge. An outcome is not about being a victim. An outcome is, what will it take to resolve this situation? In my case, I can't go back 14 months and take an alternative course of action. I'm just not able to do that. I wish I could. I truly, truly, truly wish I could. But I'm not able to do that. So I am where I am And now I have to deal with the situation as it is today. And that's the same for each and every one of us. Now, honestly, it doesn't keep me awake at night. Because I've accepted that the situation is one that has its own resolution, that will have its own outcome, and that I have to deal with it in due course, but worrying about it is not going to help anybody or anything. It's certainly not going to help me. And like everything else you've heard us discuss here on air, we consistently talk about, this year it's about self-love. So if I do a dumb thing, and I turn that into making myself dumb, that's not self-love. If I do a dumb thing and I turn that into recrimination of self, that's not self-love. If I do a dumb thing and I forgive myself, that is self-love. Now, in my case, I've hurt no one. So it's not something where an action or anything on my part has created any harm or injustice or injury to someone else. No one else was. No other living creatures were harmed in the execution of this dumb action on my part. And it's the same for all of us. So take a look at the things that you've done that you haven't been happy with, or choices that you made in the past that you still dwell on. Say, why did I do that? Now, I think it's good for you to examine why you did that, but I don't think it's good for you to examine why you did that so you can blame yourself. So the actions, once again, and we talk about this a lot on Good Vibrations Radio, as well as on other shows here on Radio Monterey. Joyce talks about this all the time on Your Lucky Stars. Julie has talked about it on Spirited Radio. Kimberly has talked about it on Angel Blessings Radio. We talk about it all the time on Good Vibrations Radio. Charlotte Tinker, who's here with us the second hour, has talked about it very often, this whole attitude of forgiving ourselves. The use of the simplified version of Ho'oponopono, the Hawaiian art of forgiveness. And that's the art of forgiving ourselves for those things we've done or those things we did not do effectively in the past. There are four phrases that we use in whichever order serves us best. Now, for me, for instance, I use them in this order. I always start by saying, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I start with I love you in my case, because in my life, love was always something that was conditional. People were always presenting, I love you, but, I love you if. There was always a condition to the love. There was always a qualifier to the love. So when I'm saying it to me for my Ho'oponopono, my forgiving of self, I want to start with I love you, because no conditions follow it in my case. Then I'm saying to myself, please forgive me. I'm sorry. Or I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then the thank you is an acknowledgement of having received the love and forgiveness. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Now, we've talked for several months now about starting each day with that attitude of gratitude. And then yesterday, or actually it was Tuesday, we spoke with Michelle Fonden, and she was talking about, the Wheel of Healing with Ayurveda, an easy guide to a healthy lifestyle. And she was sharing, you know, one of the things we need to do each day is start our day with an expression of gratitude. Now, I like to make my expression out loud. If that's not possible for you, it's not something that anybody has to do, but I like it for several reasons. Our minds react very differently to our voice versus someone else's voice. We actually tend to pay better attention to our voice, our tone, and we're more likely to make a shift or change if it's our voice that's talking about it. Now, keep in mind that I'm not talking about running around all day talking to yourself. I'm talking about waking up in the morning and saying, I am grateful for. And express that gratitude out loud. You know, every day I am personally grateful for Kirilani being in my life. Every day I'm personally grateful for our two kittens being in our life. Every day I'm really personally grateful for the skills and opportunities that have been provided and presented to me. On different days, I have other things to add into that gratitude. And sometimes it shifts because of that, but those three things are never, never absent from my daily gratitude. And then you can look around and say, perhaps you're very grateful. For those of you living in the Monterey area, Pebble Beach, Carmel area, that you're grateful for living in this beautiful area. This beautiful area directly connected with nature. Hopefully you get out to nature. Hopefully you make it out to the ocean. But those are many areas of being of gratitude that you can find. Perhaps it's your friend or best friend or friends. Perhaps it's some group that you belong to that fills your soul and your life with expression and joy and purpose and meaning. There's so many elements that are of value leading to the gratitude practice. So find those elements or find an element. You don't have to have a lot, but you need one. And start with one and start with that expression every morning when you get up. And then as soon as your feet hit the floor, start your forgiveness practice. You don't have to know what you're forgiving yourself for, but what you're essentially doing is releasing any doubts, fears, and recriminations before your day starts. Because we're going to carry through the day that which we put into our mind in the beginning. If when you get up in the morning, you grab the paper and start reading the news, in this month of creativity, in this year of self-love, now is a good time to stop doing that. If when you get up in the morning, you like to turn on the TV and listen to the morning news, in this year of self-love, in this month of creativity, now is the time to stop doing that. If you've never tried meditation before, in this month of creativity, in this year of self-love, now is a time to start practicing mini meditation sessions. Go to diamondalignment.com, sign up there, get the daily 6-minute meditation, which, by the way, you can do again and again and again and again throughout the day. But it's an energetic guided meditation that helps you shift in the moment. Start your morning, start your day with positive thoughts, attitudes, and actions so that you go forward in your day without the dread, the stress, or the tension. It's the gift we can give to all of ourselves. My Osho Zen cards for today's show were both the Rebel as well as Turning In. Turning In is about finding the true answers and the true information by going inside and stop looking outside. As long as we look outside, as long as we seek from friends, the internet, or the library without first turning in, we don't know that we're finding an answer that's congruent with our higher self, a higher direction, our true purpose. And the Rebel is essentially saying, break the chains that bind you. Do not be bound by others' conventions or intentions. It's time to go ahead and chart your path and your course. So I share those messages with you for today because those are messages that all of us can apply in this month of creativity, in this year of self-love. Don't be bound by others. Don't be held back. Don't be forced to take a position or make the changes that, or take the position that just supports how you've approached things in the past. Remember, as we said, with this being this year of self-love and this being the month of creativity, this is the time to get outside of your box, the routines, the patterns that you've established, within which you found comfort, within which you found perhaps stability, within which perhaps you found the best way to approach going forward in areas. But yet, if you have not achieved or accomplished what you intended to, you have to question those patterns, those routines that you created, because chances are very good they're what's holding you back. So be the rebel. Break down those barriers and boundaries that you've built to hold you back, and find the answers for the directions by going within, by in the silence listening to the voice within. Now is a good time while our moon is in Aries. Of course, tomorrow's a void of course moon, so don't initiate it tomorrow. Get on it in Saturday if you didn't get anything started today. Do not initiate tomorrow. If you do initiate, expect that you have no idea where it's going to go. Just be clear about that. The second thing is, if you have no intention of initiating something, expect still that tomorrow will be a day of surprises, unexpected outcomes. So expect that and allow it to happen. Allow it to reveal itself as it needs to reveal itself. Don't be held back by conventions. You know, Stephen Heckhouse started this hour by sharing with us his connection to the divine and channeling through information, guidance, and wisdom. I would like to close out this hour before we come back in the second hour with Reverend Charlotte Tinker and Healing the World One Heart at a Time. But I would like to close out this hour with this very special tribute to everything spiritual and everything divine from Leonard Cohen.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? It goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah.
truth. I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, bringing you radio for the open mind, empowered programming so you can grab a hold of a nugget of wisdom and shift your life. Magic for Life is also the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, which we just had at the Monterey Fairgrounds for the Spring Fair, May 2nd and 3rd. We hope you joined us, and if you didn't, we look forward to seeing you in the fall, October 31st and November 1st. And I guarantee you we'll have another Houdini seance back then, a Halloween weekend after all. Harry Houdini died October 31st, 1926 in Detroit, so we'd like to try to see if he has a message for us on the anniversary of his death. Now, tonight we have with us the Reverend Charlotte Tinker, who will be sharing Healing the World One Heart at a Time. So let me tell you a little bit about her. She has an extensive background in formal education in the healing arts, and she was ordained as a healing minister and trans-channel from the Healing Light Center Church in 1990, providing a broad spectrum of classes and workshops to a large and ever-expanding community. Since their meeting in 1987, Charlotte has been committed to acting as a channel for Kuan Yin, the Goddess of Mercy. In addition to providing personal and group channeling sessions, Charlotte has made the channeled teachings of Kuan Yin available through her website. And each Thursday, Reverend Tinker joins us on Good Vibrations Radio for Healing the World One Heart at a Time. Let's listen to Reverend Charlotte Tinker in Healing the World One Heart at a Time.
Reverend Charlotte Tinker. Good evening. I'm Reverend Charlotte Tinker, and you're listening to Healing the World One Heart at a Time on Good Vibrations Radio. We're sharing the channel teachings of Kuan Yin, Essence of Compassion, and my personal experiences with those teachings. You'll find information about Kuan Yin's channeling sessions and the services and classes I provide on my website at www.kuanyinspeaks.com. Many years ago, my daughter and I were rushing from Glendale to a tiny town in Arizona and the ranch beyond. We'd been notified that my youngest son had lost an eye to a weird incident with an air rifle. So she was taking her turn on the drive while I supposedly rested a bit. As a passenger, not my best role to start with, I was left with my struggle to find some center ground that would enable me to work my way through fear and guilt, anger with no focus, guilt again, and despair. I guess most of us are familiar with the guilt that says, if I'd been there, this wouldn't have happened. Worse is the despair of knowing if I had been there, if I'd actually been on the hike with them, it still would have happened. and dealing with the deep sadness that comes from knowing beyond a doubt that the course of his life had just been altered in ways none of us could even imagine. Focusing my attention on trying to breathe, watching the lowering sky as the day moved into dusk and white clouds drifting across the horizon, these few lines of poetry slithered themselves through my mind. It's called S-words. Struggle, selfless, selfish, symbiotic, sympathy, synthesis, seeker, settled, sensual, satisfaction, symbology, simple, surrender, center. There are days when I hate the S words. I like words, or more accurately, I'm curious about the impact of the words that we use. A word, pared down to its skeleton, is a symbol of a picture representing an experience which has no symbols. What I find unendingly interesting is the emotional content, the meanings people assign to the symbol used in an attempt to communicate an experience or idea. Communication is so fraught with peril and misunderstanding because the symbols we use become so full of interpretation, of judgment, and emotion, they cease to even come close to representing the experience they are a symbol for. Did that make any sense at all? So you see what I mean about communication. In addition to all that, the words or symbols we use can really only point us in the direction of the experience we are trying to share, since every experience is a totally individual experience. So 15 people can see or experience a single event at the same time. Each person will have experienced that event differently and will speak about it differently. No wonder eyewitnesses seldom come up with statements that match entirely. I heard someone say a few years ago that prejudice is a lazy person's way of knowing about something, and that actually stuck with me. They have no need then to actually listen or think, explore, feel, or experience what they see or hear. They've already prejudged the whatever. And currently, we're watching some very clear examples of this in terms of race and homosexuality, among other things. A person sees a black teenaged boy and immediately thinks, bad, drugs, dangerous. A person sees an old man, not white, walking down a sidewalk and reports a dangerous stranger in the neighborhood. In this particular case, he happened to be a grandfather from India visiting his family and did not speak English. Or a gay couple comes into a store and immediately the salesperson sees sinful, danger, evil. And when asked to report what happened, the communications around these events are already filled with words that communicate the underlying prejudice, not the actual event. The words we use too often describe our personal perceptions and biases based on our fear and/or prejudice. Our very use or misuse or misunderstanding of our language leaves us isolated and separated. Not only one from another, but more sadly from our own experience of our own soul self and the world we create and experience. And those who would spin the news or reporting of an event are very careful to use the words, intonation of voice, facial expressions, and body language to communicate what they want people to hear, believe, and react to. It seems to me that part of the spiritual practice of detachment is designed to clear away the personal prejudices from the actual experiencing of an event. So where was I going with this? Oh, yes, I remember. I started thinking, feeling into, chewing on the word surrender after an interesting conversation a few weeks back. I put it in the back of my mind to see what Kuan Yin might have to say about surrender. And at the beach one morning, I received this transmission. Surrender. Ah, we are liking this word. You are believing it is about to give up, to lose, to be giving in, to stop to fighting, and to therefore being a coward. You are having this old saying, never to say die, yes? Actually, I think she means the saying is do or die. But you will all die. It is part of being fully alive, and it is in many ways a best part. You are thinking among your peoples that to stop struggling to go on is not a good thing. We are thinking you are too literal, too limited into only one level of beingness when you are thinking in this way. We are seeing surrender as a way to stop struggling to make something happen that you have put your mind to and have decided what should happen and how it should be happening. You have left no room for what is beyond your ego, your persona's idea of what is good or right to happen. We are seeing surrender as the means to freedom. When you jumping into the river and surrender to the current, you will let the current carry you to where you wish to go. You will move with it as a partner. When you determine where your destination will be and struggle to making that destination in the way you have determined to be getting there, you are most likely to be drowning instead of to be swimming. This little one has said many years ago, God has the blueprinting and I am having the shovel. She is speaking of true surrender we are encouraging each of you to practice. Struggle, which is opposing to surrender, is saying that you, she means your persona self, is knowing what is best for you and everything around you. This persona self is very limited in its perception of a larger life. It is limited in what it can see. It is limited by your young years training, by your culture training, by what you are calling collective consciousness. When you are seeing more from the soul self, or what you are calling heart center and your third eye, you have a broader awareness of what is there, of what is possible. When you surrender into that broader knowing, you are now allowing the patterns of the universe to provide you with what will serve you better in all the parts of you and your life. We are not saying that you should give up or give into what does not serve you. We are saying that it is not your willpower that serves you, since what we are seeing as your willpower is simply the ego self. It is the power that arises from being integrated with the soul self that will bring you to your healing, to your destination, and without the struggle or fears that your ego's willpower feeds. So I've just gone through 2 weeks, followed by a previous 2 weeks. I guess that adds up to a whole month, doesn't it? In which I was sorely pressed to wend my way through the vicissitudes of trying to accommodate someone who I experienced as demanding and controlling, while not giving myself away or going to war in the process. I ended up practicing two very hard disciplines. The first was surrender in Kuan Yin's definition, and the second, graciousness in lieu of defensiveness. Actually, come to think of it, I ended up with a constant third practice as well, and perhaps this practice was the point of the whole past month's events. The practice and the challenge was to stop the critical and continuous cycling mind. You know, those conversations that you have in your mind that are defensive, judgmental, argumentative, demanding, frustrating, and on, and can be so hard to stop. I cannot tell you how many times I told myself out loud, stop, and then replace the mind stuff with singing or a mantra or just plain breathing. It was like picking my way through a minefield. Was I successful? Sometimes and for short periods of time. Am I glad I went through this experience? Oh, yes. It showed me I was too slow to actually take action. So part of my chatter was as a result of my own frustration at myself for not having moved on what I knew needed to happen. So why do I or did I wait so long? Well, there are a combination of things that I've been able to sort out at this point. I realized I didn't want to feel like a meanie thinking the other person was needing help and support when actually they were just needy. And always, a biggie for us healer types, waiting for a shift of energy between us that would allow the changes that would enable both of us to move forward easily and gently. When I was finally able in both of the events to simply find my center and stay grounded there, I was able to recognize my bottom line, state it, and surrender into what was occurring without trying to direct it or control it. And everything unfolded in its own way. I came out of the event unscathed. That is, liking myself and having avoided both a meltdown and a war. I think the most important part of surrender is not what you are afraid it means. I believe it's more important to acknowledge what you are giving up, what you are losing, what you are surrendering to. If you give up struggle, if you give up anger, if you give up fear, if you give up frustration, if you give up control, surrender results in release. Surrender leads to freedom. Surrender opens the doors for the universe to provide what you have been struggling or fighting to attain or accomplish, and does so with a richness that all of our struggles and controls could never have gained. When we surrender into that force which is part of our matrix, when we put it into the service of our soul self, of the compassionate heart, we will better be able to solve the problems of the world in very pragmatic and physical ways. We will discover solutions to hunger, disease, shelter, and on a deeper level, emotional and attitudinal levels, to fear, anger, prejudice, and greed. Solutions that are just waiting for us to surrender our ego mind into the keeping of our soul self and that bigger presence of perfect love from which each of us has emanated. So I encourage you to embrace, relax, and enjoy the richness that is yours as you surrender into the freedom of surrender. This is Reverend Charlotte Tinker with Healing the World One Heart at a Time on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kriolani. I'll be back next Thursday at 6:08 p.m. That's Pacific Standard Time. Check out my website at www.kuanyinspeaks.com. That's QUANYINSPEAKS.com for information on how to have a channeling session with Kuan Yin in your home and to purchase books of Kuan Yin's teachings. In the meantime, I leave you with Kuan Yin's blessings. We give you our blessings that all of your most beautiful dreams be coming true, both in your waking and in your sleeping. Good evening from Healing the World One Heart at a Time on Good Vibrations Radio.
Well, we certainly want to thank Reverend Charlotte Tinker for sharing the guided wisdom of Kuan Yin as well as herself as the teacher and educator that she is. Excuse me. Little cough coming up there. Probably not a good day to give up cocaine. But you can go to the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com and connect right over to Kuan Yin Speaks from there. So make sure you do that and pay attention to all that Reverend Tinker offers. She's here every Thursday by 6:15 p.m. So make sure you tune in at 6:06 so you can get everything that she has to offer. And we want to let you know that you're listening to Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kriolani. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service features full service, friendly, fast, same-day service. Or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located at 4665 Soquel Drive at the intersection with Porter Street in Soquel. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
This is Reverend Charlotte Tinker inviting you to join me as we explore the channeled teachings of Kuan Yin, the essence of compassion, on my weekly segment, Healing the World One Heart at a Time. You will find us every Thursday evening at 6:15 on Good Vibrations Radio.
Hi, this is Israel Hurtado. Have you ever wanted to raise consciousness or connect with the spirit world? Listen to Spirit Talk. Get in touch Thursday 5:15 on Good Vibration Radio. Spirit Talk with Israel Hurtado.
With Diamond Alignment, you can experience all the benefits of meditation online in just 6 minutes. Try it once and change your day. Try it every day and change your life.
The diamond energy of joy and equanimity will emanate from you today. Watch the world change around you and have a diamond day.
You can enjoy an evening of inspiration, personal growth, intellectual stimulation, and powerful energy for transformation at the Circle of Light. Connect with other adventurous souls seeking the expanded view outside the box. Join us at the Circle of Light on the third Friday of each month at the Unitarian Sanctuary, 490 Aguajito Road, Carmel, just off the PG Pebble Beach exit of Highway 1. Doors open at 7 p.m. General admission is $11, $9 for students and seniors. Call 484-1923 for more information.
Hi, this is Kirilani. People have been asking me what I've been doing because I look younger and I'm glowing. Well, I'm here to share with you my magic potion. It's called Nerium, which is a phenomenal age-defying skin treatment breakthrough. In clinical results, people like you are seeing on average a 30% improvement in the appearance of lines and wrinkles, skin discoloration, uneven skin texture, enlarged pores, and aging skin. I'm seeing these great results, and so are my family and friends. So check out the real results at kirilani.nerium.com. And the best part to me is Nerium is totally plant-based, grown pesticide-free, no chemicals, no preservatives, and no gluten. Do you want to look younger? Well, try Nerium now. Nourish your skin with a risk-free 30-day trial. Go to kirilani.nerium.com. Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio on Radio Monterey.
And this is Salazar. Welcome back. I just found out from Reverend Tinker. I've been referring to her as the Reverend, and actually that's a different level of reverendhood than what she is. So I take that back. She is not the Reverend. She's Reverend Charlotte Tinker. So I need to take that back and release that. So I was looking to see here about what's going on. Take a quick look through some of my notes. After all, this is the end of an interesting week. You know, every day, starting with the 10th this week, if you use the month as a 5 and you dropped the century and you just did like 5, 10, 15, then what happens is forward and backwards, the dates all look the same. And this goes up through the 16th. So 5, 10, 15, 5, 11, 15, 5, 12, 15, 5, 13, 15, 5, 14, 15. And tomorrow, 5, 15, 15. And then Saturday, 5, 16, 15. So go ahead and take a look at that. You'll find it's very, very interesting. It's just a little play thing that happens. And, of course, last year it existed in April, and now it's going to exist this month for this year. And don't ask me about next year, because I haven't made it that far yet. So I'm pulling some things up to talk more about the energy. We've been talking about forgiveness. As a matter of fact, when Reverend Tinker came in, she was also talking about the issue of forgiveness before she started her session. And so I think it's the part, because it keeps coming up, it certainly is a message to me to work more and more on forgiveness. One of the things Reverend Tinker shared that wasn't on air and I'd like to share with the rest of you is that when we do the Ho'oponopono against our past, what we consider perhaps our past transgressions or errors or issues, we take our past and we turn our past into our history. And see, once it's history, it no longer has that emotional connection, that emotional charge. Now it's all about being just what occurred in the past. I've shared the story on previous shows about not this last Christmas, but the Christmas before. I was back in New York visiting family. My niece was in from Australia with her family, and so I dropped in quickly. It was interesting time. It was an emotional time for me for a lot of ways. I was still reeling from being laid off at work and everything that went on related to that. And wasn't really comfortable. And I think I'm just starting to get comfortable with that whole situation. There's still some charges around it, but I have to keep working it so that my past becomes my history. But a fellow I went to high school with, he's actually the brother of my brother-in-law, but he said to me, "Do you have any regrets?" And I thought about it, and I said, "No, I don't. I have things I would do differently. I certainly have alternate choices that I would have made." And even when I was talking in the first hour about even last year, there are definitely choices I would have done differently. But I don't have regrets. It's not about regrets, because I love who I am. And if I have regrets, then how can I love who I am? I mean, we have to know who we are. We have to recognize who we are. We have to be comfortable with who we are. And if there's something we want to shift, then shift it. But don't shift it because we hate who we are. It's a lot like those people who get plastic surgery and yet still don't like the person they are. Dr. Maxwell Maltz, who created psycho-cybernetics, was a plastic surgeon. And he had a beautiful young woman who came in for a procedure. He did the procedure. When he was done, he asked, "You know, here it is, and look how you look, and it just enhances your beauty." And she said, "I still don't see it." And that's when he recognized that actually it's not about anything external. It's not about how heavy you are, unless how heavy you are becomes a negative impression against who you are. It's not about what color you are. It's not about how you look, what your hair color is, how it's styled. It's not about any of that. It's about how do you really feel about who you are. That is so critically important for all of us. And this year of self-love, it is the most critical element. Now, let's put it in context. If you choose to never bathe, if you choose to always wear stained, rumpled clothes, then you're not actually even presenting to the world your best impression of you. I don't know who you are, and I don't know what you should wear. But if you're choosing to make sure that you smell as bad as possible and look as bad as possible, you're telling the world, "I don't give a rat's rump very much about myself." By the same token, if you try to dress neat and clean, it's just neat and clean, that's all. I'm not telling you what to wear. Neat and clean, it shows that you take a little pride in your appearance. That's what you project to the world. But underneath all of that, rumpled and stained, or neat and clean, you have to know and love who you are. You can only do that if you know who you are. That's the challenge. Now, on Wednesday afternoons, or second hour, rather, John Voris always joins us with The Power That Drives Personality. And he talks about the four life themes, which are the four primary themes that we start with as foundational themes, love, wisdom, justice, and power. And he's been sharing how each of them manifest themselves in the world and the strengths that each of them brings. Now, each of them also bring a weakness, but all of us are one of the four as a core element. And then we have submixing sets of them around us.
Excuse me.
That are additional flavors of that element that we operate through. But the reason I bring that up is because one element that John and I keep discussing during The Power That Drives Personality is that knowing that life theme comes down to really knowing your life's purpose. So many of us have become like a piece of driftwood, aimlessly going wherever the current has pushed in life. And at different times, too, we thought we were making choices based on where the current was pushing us. And it's not always the right one. I have to admit, I second guess some of the choices I've made in the last 2 years because I thought I was making wise choices. I thought I was making choices that fed who and what I am. I thought I was doing things that were appropriate for me. And yet I knew my life theme. I knew my life purpose. And at the end of the day, I'm not so sure about that. So what was the outcome of that? The outcome of that was, I overspent, underpaid the taxes that I need to pay. And at the end of the day, I don't know still if all of the choices were the best for me. By the same time, learned a tremendous amount. Know a tremendous amount. I've done tremendous work, phenomenal work. And for me, it's just all part of the journey. So what happens is we make choices, all of us, every one of us. We choose a partner. We choose a career. We choose a job if it's not a career. We make choices that we make for what we believe are the appropriate and proper points and issues and decision points. And then we allow the currents to push us. Now, you may say, oh, I've never done that. And you may have been very, very successful in your life. And things may have worked out very, very well for you. And I applaud you. But for most of us, we've made choices that have led to other choices that have led to other choices that have led to other choices. We always say it starts with those of us in the spirit realm making the proper choice for who our parents will be. I certainly picked challenging parents. I certainly picked a challenging life. And actually, in palmistry, I have what's known as a drooped little finger. It's based on the arch of your fingers across your hand, depending on whether it's straight or evenly arched or whether the forefinger is more drooped or whatever. Mine is the drooped little finger, which just means I'm constantly facing the challenges of life. It's my job. It's my job to actually find the speed bumps and never be a motorboat or speedboat. I don't get to ride the crest of the waves from harbor to harbor. I actually have to go slow like a tug and feel each and every wave as it comes through, feel those swells. So that's just my life, and that's how it runs. And I accept that. Now, for me, knowing my life theme and what's important to me does help me try to frame those things that I've chosen, that I've decided, try to frame them into that context to make sure that they fit. Sometimes we think things fit. It's like going to a shoe store and trying on the shoes in the store, and they seem fine, and you get them home, and you try them on the next day. And before you know it, they don't fit. They really don't. They weren't really the size you need. They're cut just a little slimmer or a little shorter than the size that they really are that you're used to, depending on where they were made. For instance, I love the shoes Incas that I get from Central and South America. They're beautiful. They're made by indigenous peoples who are paid a living wage. And the money that part of the profit of the product itself goes toward helping restore and preserve the rainforests in Central and South America. So there's a consciousness to that. However, Incas are made by indigenous peoples in Central and South America, which means you have to watch the shoe sizes. Sometimes your size, most often your size, is small. If you go a half size up, sometimes it's big. So you're never quite sure which way to go, and you have to play with them. I've had to return more than one pair. And usually when I return them, I don't return them and say, give me the next size up, because I expect that there's going to be an imbalance from having worked with them. But my real point is that life is often like that. We choose the shoe. We put it on. It fits today. Tomorrow, it doesn't fit. The day after that, I realize you can't wear them anymore. And those are times when we need to assess, evaluate, and make alternative changes. And we've been saying that for this whole year. In this month of creativity, which is May, this is the best time to say, okay, I've always chosen this way. I've always decided based on these factors. And this month is saying, get outside of your box. Get outside of your rules and your requirements and your regulations and your decision points and your way of approaching each and everything. Get outside of it. And start doing things new and different. Find alternative ways. When we say at the start of the show, we're here to help you turn the lead in your life into gold, that's what we're talking about. Albert Einstein was the one who said insanity is making the same choice and expecting a different outcome. Most of us do that in our lives and don't pay attention to it because we do it without the consciousness of what we're doing. We're asking you to be conscious. Be aware. Take a look at the choices and the ways you've approached things. I've found, once again, that I have several repeating patterns that I still haven't fully broken. I need to address those issues with far more consciousness in the moment and far less unconsciousness. I allow decision points or frameworks of thought to drive changes away from the consciousness. I start with the consciousness and I quickly move to the unconsciousness. Where in your life do you do the same thing? Think of that. Find a way to shift it. I don't know what my solutions are for shifting mine, but I certainly need to find different ways of doing what I'm doing in many areas. And that's what I'm focusing on, and I'm sharing it with you because it is the mantra for this month. This is what we need to be working on. We also heard from the Day by Day with James Allen, at least in the first hour, about having our harmonizing thoughts. A person is the causer, though nearly always unconsciously, of his circumstances, and that whilst aiming at the good end, he is continually frustrating its accomplishment by encouraging thoughts and desires which cannot possibly harmonize with that end. Which cannot possibly harmonize with that end. Well, what are your thoughts about? Are you starting each day with good thoughts? Are you starting each day with conflicted thoughts? Are you starting each day with dread and stress and fear? What you start each day with will actually carry with you through the day. So start with good thoughts. Start with gratitude. Start with Ho'oponopono forgiveness. Start with all of those actions and activities. And then talk to your angels and say that you're looking for the most benevolent outcome to the day. If you have something you're worried about, say, I'm looking for the most benevolent outcome to my meeting with Bob. I'm looking for the most benevolent outcome to my meeting with the IRS. I'm looking for the most benevolent outcome to whatever you have to do. And repeat that mantra again and again. Allow yourself to release the need to have an expectation or an expected outcome, a definitive expected outcome. Allow the outcome to be one that's generated by the positive energy, emotions, and agreements. And release the need to force or press it. Because once you release that need to force or press it in a certain direction, you also allow the entire situation to flow much, much better. So, what do you want to do with your life this year? You know, what do you want for your life that you haven't already brought into it? Are you harmonizing your thoughts? Are you trying to stay focused on where you're going? We're going to come up on Monday to our new moon in Taurus. The new moon in Taurus I kept wanting to talk about in the emails. As I said in the first hour, I sent out the email talking about the moon moving into Taurus today when it clearly moved into Aries, and don't know where my mind was. But we're going to have, you know, right on the heels of everything going on, we've got Mars in Gemini opposing Saturn in Sagittarius. It's telling us right now to focus on something. We need to take the energy of the moon in Aries, the forced energy of Mars in Gemini opposing Saturn in Sagittarius, telling us to create a focus, to create an intention, to take a direction. Remember, tomorrow is a void of course day all day with the moon, so it's not a good day to start something new, but now is a good time to write down the new you want to start. And don't wait long. Take that step on Saturday. Saturday, Venus in Cancer will try Neptune in Pisces, and then this will give us a nice dreamy day, and we can get lost in our own minds, our dreams, our thoughts, our feelings. This is a good time to focus and create image, whether it's music, movies, books, whatever. Create the image of a positive outcome. I recently shared how I just watched, based on something I saw last week, I just got through watching the full 7 seasons of The Sons of Anarchy, which was about the motorcycle gang in Northern California. It was an FX TV series. It's violent. It's brutal. It's bloody. It's unexpected. It has no redemption of the characters. Truly, there is no redemption. And it's Shakespearean in scope and impact. Deep, dark, heavy. That's not the type of thing that we should be focusing on. Even I should not have been focusing on that. As we go into Saturday, watch something that allows you to see the beauty, the intention, and the successful outcome in life. And then that new moon in Taurus. Remember, new moons are about new beginnings. If we've created that intention now, as we said, you know, with this Mars in Gemini opposing Saturn in Sagittarius, if we create that intention now, and say, this is what we need to do, we can capitalize on that new moon energy on Sunday evening, Pacific time. It'll be about, I think it's 12:34 or something, East Coast time, but so there'll be 9:34 p.m. Pacific. It can make us a little stubborn, but that stubborn can be turned into the persistence to keep moving forward in that direction of the new intention. And that's what we need to do. And then for the rest of next week, it's going to be a little challenging because Mercury is going to go back into its retrograde cycle. It's going to be challenging, really, up until June because of that. But Mercury will go into its retrograde cycle, and that will be right on Monday. It's going to be in Gemini. And we'll just be getting some direction, some energy, some force and focus under our feet. And then bad communication, lost emails, challenges all the way around. But don't let that stop you. Remember, communications will be challenging. Things will happen. Plan things through. Plan ahead. And don't let that retrograde slow you down at all. Move in that direction of the life you want to create. And I don't actually understand why. I understand why many of us are not as successful at doing it as we want to be. But I don't understand why everybody's not doing it. There's two differences. I struggle with the latter, not the former, because the former is exactly what we're talking about here. Do I interfere with my thought, my direction, my intention by creating other thoughts that get in there and create doubt, create fear, create hesitation, make me back away or think, no, that was wrong. And so before I've had a chance for it to prove itself out, I shift into a different direction. There's so many different ways of approaching things. And I've been thinking back through last year as I watched my decision points shift, where I thought I had clarity, I watched how my decision points shifted based on other factors and impacts. So don't allow yourself to be drawn into the sewage of self-doubt that's been brought into your life potentially by the influence of others. Others who have said, you're not worthy, you're not capable, or you shouldn't be doing that. Don't let those self-doubts interfere with your ability to create, frame, and live the life you intended. Don't keep yourself held back because of other people's fears and their lack of self-worth. I shared with John Voris last week how growing up my father would look at TV or see a commercial and say, you have to go to college to be that stupid. What was his intention? His intention there was, I didn't go to college, and I think I'm as smart or smarter than that. So therefore, he had to put down that which he didn't understand and that which he didn't have. Don't live that way. That's a limiting belief system and structure. Don't stop yourself from being all that you really are capable of being. Don't stop yourself from being all that you came here to be. But start by taking control of your life. It's your life. You don't have to go out and create the newest way to save the world. You just have to save you. Make sure you're doing the best, you're honoring yourself, and you're living the life that you want to live for you. That it fulfills you, that it satisfies you. Not that it's comfortable, but that it fulfills and satisfies you. That's very different. We can sometimes be comfortable without being very fulfilled and satisfied. So don't let yourself be held back by the past. Don't let yourself be stymied by other people's opinions and thoughts. And make sure when you go forward fully, with a full commitment and a full expression. So Good Vibrations Radio will be back tomorrow night from 5 to 7 p.m. We'll have Howard Strauss on. Be talking more about vaccines and drugs and testing of the military and how they become the guinea pigs for many, many of the tests going on. And then Monday we'll be back with Alyssa Matadalian, who will be sharing a new healing CD program. And that will be it will be an interesting program. I like talking to her. She has a gentle healing spirit about her. And she's currently in Canada, so I look forward to talking with her. It's been a while since we've had a chance to connect. So as we close out tonight, I wanted to try closing out with the Eagles, because not the Eagles, the Steve Miller Band, rather, because I thought we should fly like an eagle. This is not our time to sit down on a branch and roost. It was raining when I came into the studio. And generally before the rain, the birds all come to ground. Don't come to ground. Fly like an eagle. Make sure you're soaring and that you can see all around you and that you reach for the farthest and furthest that you can, that you are capable of doing. So thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani. I wish you many, many blessings. Namaste.
Thank you.